Right, so tonight I trust God that God is going to be blessing us and is going to be doing us a whole lot of good. Of course, that's the nature of God. Everything he does springs from the fact that he's full of goodness. He's full of goodness. And my belief tonight is that this topic is so timely for us as a nation, for us as citizens of this country. You know, somebody said something sometimes that Nigerians are not supposed to miss heaven. Because if you have been a citizen of this country for this long, I feel that we don't deserve to miss eternity. I don't want to describe the experience here as hell, but if there's anything that is worth, you know, using to describe where we are as a country, we will not say anything negative about this country. We are in good place because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, the goodness of God abounds. And that's why it's important for us to pay attention this evening as we understudy this aspect of God, this particular aspect of God. You know, Bro Femi was saying, and he was talking about the fact that one of the essence of God that has kept him moving is the goodness of God. And we all could testify to that. We have witness in the house today. The fact that God has been good to us, not just good, immensely good. And that has kept many of us going. I'm standing behind the pulpit tonight talking to you. I have numerous testimonies, numerous experiences to share with us about the goodness of God, how the goodness of God has kept me going over the years. And I pray that this moment is going to be a worthwhile moment in his presence. And we have a record of his mercies and his faithfulness in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're going to start this series like it has been introduced. Teaching on the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Pastor has been teaching us about the word and our life. You know, that's where it starts from. That's where it starts from. Everything that God is going to do to us or do for us is going to do it through his word. And what we are doing today, we're also understanding the word of God. Studying the fact that God has been gracious to us, has been good to us to send us his word. And he's sending us his word this evening. And I believe that the word of God will come to us and will meet us at the very point of our needs in Jesus' name. All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 1. Okay, before we read that, I'd like us to pick up our Bibles. Just like we did on Sunday, I'd like us to stand to our feet. There's an aspect of this teaching that I want us to sustain throughout this period is about the word of God, the word of God. The fact that God sends his word to us underscores, you know, his goodness in our lives. I remember a senior pastor at some point in time teaching about the fact that many people suffered. Many lives, you know, went for the fact that the word of God was sent to us. People died. So many persecution, you know, of the church of God to get us to this point that we could have God's word, you know, for ourselves. And so tonight, we're going to be honoring God's word as we rise to our feet. We're going to give attendance to public reading of God's word. So we want to read God's word reverently. Psalms 107 is where we're going to be reading from because we don't have all the time to do this. So we're going to be doing it bit by bit every time we come around to study God's word. So I'd like us to open our Bibles to the book of Psalms 107. Psalms 107. There are about 43 verses in that particular passage of the scriptures. And if we divide 43 by 6, we're going to have, I just want us to have some portion to read. We're going to read about 8 verses. Then next week we'll continue and read another 8 verses. Then we'll do that throughout the period of the study. All right, praise the Lord. I wish to you together this evening. All right, let's read together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by this right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Verse 8, we'll read. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Please put your hands together for Jesus. That's the word of God. Let's have a seat tonight. God is the very definition of goodness. The goodness of God abounds in all creation. From history, down the history, we see records of the goodness of God. We are seated here this evening because God is good to us. And it is not just that God is good to us. The goodness of God abounds in our lives. If you look around, these facts are not far-fetched. The very essence of God is his goodness. And that is his nature. What makes everything good is the fact that God brings his goodness, you know, on that stuff. If there's anything you want to call good, what comes to mind first and foremost is the fact that there is a force behind it. There's a force behind it. Jesus Christ speaking in the New Testament, when people came to him and called him the good master, he was very quick and bold to realize that the only definition of good is God himself. And if there's going to be anything, you know, to describe God in all of his essence, his possibilities, his power, his nature, his deeds, his character, his conduct, it is the goodness of God. I'm going to read the book of Psalms again, the book of Psalm chapter 119. That's where I take my text from. Psalm 119, verse 68. I want us to open our Bibles as we go through this teaching together tonight. Verse 119, verse 68 says, thou art good and doest good. Say, teach me thy statutes. Can we read that verse together? One more time, please. Can we read it for the last time now? Louder. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy status. And so tonight we are opening our hearts to God, that God is going to teach us. You know, if you read through the book of chapter 119, there is so much emphasis on the word of God. Words that were used to describe God's word were the testimonies of God, the precepts of God, the statutes of God. So when the Bible says, teach me thy statutes, it's talking about the fact that teach me your word. And so this word that we have read in the scriptures, talking about the goodness of God, says, thou art good, thou doest good, so teach me. Can you say to yourself tonight, Lord, teach me? Lord, teach me your word. So the Holy Spirit is going to be teaching us his word, because it's important. David realized this importance of having to understand, having to, you know, comprehend the statutes of God, the ways of God, the word of God, the testimonies of God. And that is the reason he sang about it. He taught about it. Every opportunity he has, he has told God's word. I remember Job as well, somebody who gives so much delight and attention to God's word. There's a place in Job, the Bible says that your word were found to me. I did esteem them because they have become the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. So the importance and the significance of God's word to us tonight, particularly, is goodness. Is goodness. In John chapter 1, verse 1, Bible says, In the beginning, God was the word, and the word was with God, and God was word. And so, when we say that the word of God is synonymous to God, we're also saying that goodness, as is an English word, goodness is synonymous to God. When you hear goodness, what comes to your mind? You're talking about God. So tonight, God is going to be teaching us about his goodness. You see, we live in a world and in a time that everywhere we look, it seems that the goodness of God is nowhere to be found. You look about the histories of men, histories of nation. You consider the economy of the world, the happenings around the world. Every opportunity you have to open, to switch on your TV set, you hear testimonies of evils, stories of happenings that are terrible. And you wonder, where is the goodness of God in all of this place? Sometimes somebody will even ask and will say that, if God is indeed good, why do I have to go through all of this? Why do I have to experience these bad things that have happened to me? And so maybe you are sitting here tonight and you are asking yourself, you are probably pondering that, is it worth considering? Is it worth understanding at all? Is it worth paying attention to you? Talking about the goodness of God. Because you look at your life, some people's definition is anything but the goodness of God. From cradle, they go through all sorts, they have all sorts of habits, they have delays in their lives, they have issues, they have problems. Some people even right from birth. Remember the story in John chapter 9. The disciples approached Jesus Christ, and you know, it was the story of the boy that was born blind. And they asked Jesus, what was the sin of this man? Is it his sin? Was it the parent? Was it the fact that he has done something terrible? And Jesus said that, no, it was meant to glorify God, to bring glory to God. And we saw that in that story, that at the end of the day, Jesus Christ healed that particular man, and glory came to the name of the Lord. And so, like I said, there are many memories of woes, of evils, the calamities, the catastrophe, and many other stories of wickedness the world has ever witnessed. Even things that are unimaginable. The wickedness in the heart of men. Now, all these beg just for one question. Where is the goodness of God? How can you talk about the goodness of God and all these things are happening? Somebody will stop and pause and say, please stop it. Stop it. I was listening to a man of God, and he was bombarded with some series of questions. Say that I have this experience, I have that experience. So tell me, how will you convince me that God is good? Maybe you've been in that situation before. And then we also have people around us, like I said, that there are obvious, evident signs that they are going through a lot. Everything about them, you know, seem to be contrary to the fact that the goodness of God abound in our lives, in their personal stories and experience. We have all kind of experience, from bad to ugly to terrible. But we also have some good experiences. We've also enjoyed the goodness of God at some point in time in our lives. At some point in time in our lives, God has come through for us. As we are seated here tonight, we have stories even to tell, if you have the privilege and the opportunity
to talk about the goodness of God? Or is there anybody who is seated there who doesn't have a personal experience of the goodness of God? You know, there are tendencies for us to ignore some of these moments and times in our lives that God has intentionally shown us that He is good. I stand behind this pulpit to tell you that there are specific moments of my life that God deliberately showed me that He is good and He is kind. Irrespective of all the hurdles that we've had to face, irrespective of all the challenges that we've had to go through, God has been faithful, you know, to make this aspect of His nature known to us. And so, these are the many reasons that we'll, you know, do ourselves a whole lot of good to pay attention to what the goodness of God is in our life. You know, when you read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, we saw somebody who was also in our shoes at some point in time. Talking about David. David is a man that we just read, the only person who documented, you know, so many psalms and hymns in the scriptures. So he understood God. He had a very vivid knowledge of the personality of God. And that's why he was able to do all of it. In 1 Samuel chapter 27 verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Why did he say that? When you read that scripture, that passage from the throughout, you will realize that David was going through certain experiences. These were times that he was running away from Saul. This was the particular moment that David had to, you know, take some shield, you know, meditation, you know, have a means to escape the terror from Saul, his master. Overwhelmed with doubt, overwhelmed with issues, burdens in his heart, fears. And David could not but utter these words, and he says, now I shall die by the hand of Saul. We saw the heart, the climax of the expression of doubt. We saw the climax of the expression of disappointment. We saw a climax of, you know, weariness in the soul. And those are the things that happen when our minds are away once in a while. We tend to lose sight of the goodness of God. We tend to bring accusations against God, even when we don't have some proofs. Because even in the pits, even in the issues of our life, God has been faithful and has been kind. And He's good all through. We saw the children of the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and they saw the goodness of God. We've been through fire before. We've been through hell before. We've been through many waters before. And God brought us out of those issues. We've been in difficult situations. We've come to our wit's end many, many times. Many, many, many times we've lost hope, and suddenly God came through. Sometimes life feels like it should just end here. Sometimes we go through situations in life and it feels that we are the only person in that situation. Sometimes the world feels like you are the only person in the world, because it looks as if all the problems and the calamities of the world is just on you alone. Sometimes you don't have money to spend, and you don't have anybody to call on. Sometimes you wonder what progress you have made in the past 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. You look at your colleagues and your mates. You see how they've gone probably ahead of you. And you are in doubt. You are in weariness of heart. You lose touch and connection with the fact that the goodness of God has preserved you. We saw David in this particular scripture. This was a man who has escaped the javelin of Saul. This was a man that God rescued, you know, when he was still tender, when he was still young, tending his father's sheep behind the house in the wilderness. This was somebody who, with his bare hand, you know, slew the lion that came to snatch the sheep that was tending. This was somebody that God preserved. And yet, because of doubt, because of weariness of heart, because of a temporary toughness and circumstance, all that could come out of the mouth of David was, "Now I shall die by the hand of Saul." Scripture made us to understand that this particular point in time in David's life, there was no evidence, there was no trace at all whatsoever that Saul was near where David was. This was a time that even Saul was almost missing it. Saul had gone to visit a witch doctor, a witch, a spirit, just to inquire from the spirit. This was somebody that was in disobedience. Somebody that was, you know, just waiting for the appointed time to exit this world. So Saul was nowhere around him. But because of this grip of doubt, grip of fear, David lost it at that moment. He forgot all the goodness of God. He said, "I've been there before. I remember when I came into Ibadan." That was about 20 years ago. This is 2024. 2004 precisely, I was going to come into Ibadan for school and admission runs and stuff like that. And we had to wait. So I was staying at Zeke Hall, Independent Hall, in University of Ibadan, studying with somebody. Suddenly, I felt sick. And the only brother I had in town back then was not around. I was not living with him. I came into Ibadan. He was struggling with his own life, so everybody was looking for how to survive. So, and of course, I felt sick. I needed to reach out to somebody. But he has his fiancée, his wife now. His fiancée back then was working in an hospital. And the only thought that came to my mind was that, I don't have any friend here. The people I'm squatting with, sometimes they will go for days, you know, school life. So there was no reason for me to even, I'm managing there. I don't want to constitute a nuisance to them. So I reached out to this, my brother's wife. "But please, I'm healed. Can I come to your clinic?" So I visited the clinic. Cut the long story short, I was attended to. Then the next thing, my brother called me. Listen very carefully, because I'm sure you're going to gain one or two things. Yeah, talking about the goodness of God. Then my brother called me. He said, "Why did you have to go to that place?" I was shocked. That was not what I was expecting from a brother. So why didn't I tell him before I went there? I said, "For crying out loud, do I have to tell you that I needed help? And I saw that this person was nearby and I could just get help." You know, that conversation went just like that. And it was like an arrow was shot at me. I felt hurt. I felt bad. I didn't call you. I didn't disturb you. I didn't say that bring money, this and that. Okay. That night, I returned back to the hostel. Then, maybe for about a few days, I kept asking God the best way I could. "God, please, let this be the last time that we ever have to visit an hospital because of any sickness." I look back at where I was coming from as a child. It has always been like that. You are in trouble. You don't even know who to call. You don't have ready hands around to assist or to help. So I know what I felt that night, that this opportunity that I had to harness, somebody is now, you know, criticizing, castigating, and rebuking me strongly. I felt bad. "God, I've had this experience growing up as a child. This should be the last time." I just said that prayer humbly. And that was it. 24, 25, there was delay. 26, there was delay. Signing admission. 26, we gained admission. We didn't resume until 20, 2007. We resumed 2007, September. And I finished school 2012. We were given a card at the hospital for registration. Throughout my stay on campus, I never had to use that card for 5 years straight. Went for UCOR, and as I speak to you date, I've not had to visit the hospital for any sickness, for any issue concerning health, because of the goodness of God. What more can define the goodness of God other than the fact that God could heal a child, God could heal a nobody, God could heal somebody who didn't bank on his righteousness, on his holy lifestyle, somebody who could not, you know, boast of a life that is stainless or clean, all on the account of the goodness of God. Sometimes in our lives, we've had to experience some of these things. Sometimes in our lives, we've had to, you know, enjoy things that we do not deserve. And that is the way God operates. Bible talks about the fact that the goodness of God abounds on everyone, both the evil and the bad, because that is his nature. God doesn't have to take authority from anyone before he shows his goodness. God doesn't have to consult nobody before he manifests his goodness. The goodness of God is his manifestation. The goodness of God is the manifestation of his person. Like Brofemi rightly described it, God is goodness personified. If there's any way you want to define God, that is who he is. Why is it important for us as believers, as we begin to put structure to what we have to do tonight? Why is it important for us as believers to understand the goodness of God? I have about 4 points. Number one, we need to understand the goodness of God so that we can remember and appreciate him for his goodness. We need to understand the goodness of God so that we can call to remembrance the good things that he has done for us. We need to understand the goodness of God so that we can have at our forefront every time that he is good. We need to understand that, as David, you know, put it in Psalms 103, verse 1 and 2. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. Why? Because we have tendency to forget. We have this tendency to forget his goodness, to forget his mercies, his wonderful deeds in our lives. We have that tendency to lose touch. And in the text that we read in Psalms 119, verse 8, it says, oh, that men will give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his goodness, and for his wonderful works. All the works of the Lord are full of goodness. All the works of the Lord are full of goodness. Every deed of God is full of goodness. His nature is characterized by goodness. His conduct is characterized by goodness. His mercy is also his goodness. When he speaks goodness. Because when he speaks, the Bible says that he spoke. Let every word, every inhabitant of the earth be in silence. Because in the silence, God wrought wonders. When he speaks, he wrought wonders. When he spoke, the last time he spoke through his servant, Bible says that he sent his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from all their troubles. When God speaks, he's speaking goodness. When God breathes, he's breathing goodness. Remember, from creation, God had to breathe his very life into humanity. And man became a living soul. Why? Because God breathed his goodness into us. You are full of life today because you have the goodness of God as his breath on your inside. So we need to remember all of this. We need to remember moments that has taken us through fire. We need to remember the times that we've been in difficult situations. And it was only God, the hand of God, that rescued and delivered us. We need to remember moments and times again and again that we've had to call on God and God answered us. We need to call to remembrance the goodness of God in our lives. This is the reason why we have to understand this as believers. Number two, the goodness of God. Understanding the goodness of God avails us the truth of God. You see, there are so many lies around. So many falsehoods. There's all kinds of definition of God. Some people will say, when bad things happen, it is God that made it happen. Some people have even described God that is full of good and is also full of bad. Some people have also defined God that is two-sided. God is good and is also evil. Have you had such definitions before? You've had times that bad things will happen and they will say that I'm all alone. You've had moments that, you know, terrible things will happen. And people, what comes to mind is that, God is not like that. God doesn't have dual nature. God doesn't have, you know, complexity as far as his nature is concerned. God is full of goodness, and everything he does springs out of that fact and reality that is good. We need to understand that. It's difficult, but that is the truth. The truth of God, we need to understand it. That's why we need to understand the goodness of God. And so, as against any possible doubt, as against any possible demonstration of falsehood or lies, we need to come to this understanding that God holds everything true. God still holds this universe true, and is true to his word. That is good. Number three. Also, because there is enough falsehood, like I said, in our age and in our time, so only the truth of God's word will prevail. We need to understand, because we need to live in the consciousness of the truth of God. We need to live in this consciousness of the truth of God. Look at what the scripture says in Psalms, in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. I read very quickly from here. Say, God forbid. Yeah, let God be true, but every man a liar. And it is written that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let God be true. Let God be true. But every man a liar. No matter how long lies fly, no matter how long falsehood, you know, parade itself, the truth of God's word will still stand. And so the truth of God's word is that his goodness abounds. We need to understand this truth, because one of the attributes, the evidences of the last age is how difficult humanity will come to acceptance of truth. One of the things that we see in our time is that it's becoming more and more difficult for people to attain unto truth. Bible particularly put it this way. It says, they are ever learning, but never come to the knowledge of truth. There's another translation that puts it that they never come to an understanding of truth. And so, to erase every doubt, to put to silence the shout of falsehood, the propaganda of the devil, you know, in our time, in our age, that God is not good. He started this business right from the beginning. Remember the story of creation. God has given Adam and Eve instructions that do this so that you might live. And if you do this, you will die. And Satan came by way of his deception. Do you think that you will surely die? Because every attempt of the devil is to corrupt what God has positioned to be good for us as humanity. He's still doing that business till date. Your life is precious in the sight of God. Our lives are so precious in the hands of God. And God has packaged all of his goodness just for us. But every now and then, we go through experiences, you know, to dissuade us, to blindfold us from that reality and that fact. We have issues in our lives, struggles in our lives, to make us to feel that God is not good. These are the works of the devil. These are the antics of the devil. And he's good at it. It's up to you to succumb to it, or it's up to you to come up in the understanding of the truth of God that you have. That no matter what, his goodness remains. No matter what I'm going through, his goodness stands sure. No matter what I'm facing at the moment, the goodness of God is true. I believe it, I accept it, I embrace it. And I live by it on a daily basis. I stand by this fact that the goodness of God is real. I stand by this fact that the goodness of God is ever true and sure. God doesn't show himself to be good in time past and then momentarily pauses to be good and then resumes his goodness again. That's not the attribute of God. God has been good, is eternally good. Before creation, God was good. At creation, God remains good. All through creation, all through ages and life, God remains good. And his goodness abounds forevermore. Praise the living Jesus. We need to come to this reality, church. Like Pastor, we always say, ladies and gentlemen, we need to come to this reality. We need to come to this understanding. We need to comprehend it as well, because we're talking about understanding. David rightly said that, teach me these statutes. I like us to approach God. I like us to behold him. That God, teach me this aspect of you. Yes, you could know every other thing about God, but this fact, this truth, we all need to come to it. And then, number four, before I begin to round up, we need to come to this understanding, because understanding empowers us. Understanding empowers us. We talk about knowledge is power, but there is more to knowledge. Back then when we were young, we always pray, give me wisdom, right? Give me knowledge and understanding. Sometimes I wonder, why do we have to pray the three? Why not, God, just give me understanding? Or God, just give me wisdom? Is it that one is deficient, one is not sufficient enough until we have the three? Maybe we take time to study that. Why do you have to ask God, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, give me understanding? And then at the end of the day, we still come back to the fact that knowledge is power, but understanding is this, wisdom is this. Maybe there are dimensions to this, all right? So that's not what we are looking at. Understanding empowers us. Understanding gives us power. And we are talking about understanding the goodness of God. Understanding the goodness of God will help us to navigate through these hurdles and troubles that we might find ourselves at any point in time. This time of our lives that we are going through certain things, we're empowered. We're empowered. How do we get empowered? We have this consciousness. I'm trying to imagine it, because sometimes when we are speaking or when we are probably talking about these things, it looks like it's some abstract stuff that we cannot connect with. And so when I say that God is full of goodness and my heart receives it, then it comes into my mind, right? So that's the seat of memory. And then maybe when I wake up in the morning, have vivid recollection of the fact that the goodness of God, I understand the goodness of God. Listen, church. So my mind begins to accept it for a fact. But there is an aspect of me in my subconscious that constantly brings up the many issues that I've gone through. There's an aspect of me that always says that maybe God is not good. Maybe you have to go through this because you have done these bad things. Have you been there before? You have some delays in prayers. And then what comes to your mind is that you have not done something right. Maybe a beggar begged you on the road before coming to church or coming to somewhere. And because you snubbed that beggar. And so that's the reason you fell or you stumbled. Have you been there before? Or maybe somebody asks you for a favor. And then you are thinking because you could not attend to that. And so in your mind, all of the bad things that corrupt that truth will come like a rushing wind, like a flash. And these are our experiences on a daily basis. These are the things that we have to, you know, grapple with on a daily basis. You wake up in the throughout the day. Somewhere along the line, something will just happen from the blues. And then you have started thinking again, I'm back to this. I tell you briefly before I conclude. Now, what brought me to this topic was the fact that I was just right there. I was thinking about the fact that what have I been doing in the last past 5 years? I look at the things that have happened, you know, in recent past. So I was like, God. Remember when Pastor Shula was sharing with us and he said that he ought to have started this church like some years back. So I look at my career life. I look at the things that are written down many years back. And I put them side by side with my current reality. And all of a sudden, this thought began to well up in me. Guy, you are not there. Guy, you are struggling. Guy, things are difficult for you. And this thing you should have started long before. You know where you have been to? You know, your colleagues, people that have started stuff like this long before now. You know where they are now? What can you even account for? What account of your life can you give that justify that you are enjoying the goodness of God? Even though I've had to tell myself times again and again that the goodness of God remains and I enjoy it. I've told myself, I've told my wife times without number that the devil cannot be as powerful as God in difficult times. It is not the difficulty that invalidates the goodness of God in my life. It is not bad moment that makes me to think that God is not good. So when I'm going through stuff, when I'm going through terrible things, I don't entertain any thought that God is not good. And so when you are going through difficult stuff, it doesn't invalidate the fact that the goodness of God remains. And so when you look at your life and you take stock and devil whispers to you that you have lost it or you are missing out or you are delayed or these terrible things, you won't survive it, or this terrible situation will take you, or this bad issue, this is how you're going to live with it. No, you're not going to live with it. You're going to see the goodness of the Lord. And in the land of the living, you will see the goodness of the Lord. I believed, the songwriter wrote, to see the goodness of the Lord. I believed to experience the goodness of the Lord. And so you are coming to this realization every point in time that God and His goodness are one. And you have that God on your inside. Brethren, we need to conclude. As I conclude, we are never better off than an unbeliever. We are never better off than an unbeliever. The moment we stoop low in doubt, the moment we stoop low in doubt of the goodness of God, as a matter of fact, we rubbish the very essence of God. It's an indictment on the personality of God. It's an act of perjury when you bring an accusation against somebody without a proof, without an evidence. There is no evidence whatsoever, whether before now, whether now, or whether in the future, that the goodness of God is not there. There is no such evidence, whether under the earth, on the earth, whether in the sky, whether in the sea, or in the waters. All through ages, the goodness of God stands firm and remains ever true. All through ages and eternity to come, the goodness of God remains. And so it's an act, it's an offense, it's an indictment against the personality of God. And so we rubbish his very essence. We stoop low in doubt, in worries as to his goodness. We stoop low in anxiety and in confusion. I tell you boldly, what you are doing is that you are doing an injustice to the very person of God. The one who lives on your inside. The one who gives you breath. The one who is mindful of you. The one who thinks about you. Bible says that I know the thought that I think towards you. They are thought of peace and good to give you an expected end. Another translation says that to give you a hope and a future. And so it might not look it today. I don't always be like this. I've been through storms. I was not born with microphone held in my hand. I've done all the nasty things that you can ever think of as a child. Growing up, I had my struggles. But all of these, devil was at it to make it look like God was never good. All his attempt was to bring me to an end where the goodness of God will look like a facade. But that's not the business of God. God's business has always to make what is bad to be good. God's business has always been to turn evil to good. What God does, and he does so well at all time, all ages, is that he turns bad situations good. He has done it before in the scriptures. He's doing it in our time, and he will continue to do so. And so your life is not going to be an exception. Our lives are not exception to the fact that the goodness of God remains, and it remains ever true. And so don't do that injustice anymore. Say to yourself, I cease from that injustice. I cease from that injustice to the personhood of God. I cease from that injustice to that personhood of God. The fools are said in their heart that there is no God. Psalms 14 verse 1. Psalms 14 verse 1. And in Psalm 107 verse 17. The fool. Who is a fool? The fool is somebody who thinks that God is not there. Who is a fool? The fool is somebody that was not born and given a name foolish. The fool is somebody who suddenly feels that the goodness of God is not there. I remember speaking about this sometimes. I said, when the Bible talks about the fact that the fool has said, look at the way scripture put it. Said the fool has said in their hearts. And so it is that act. It is that act, A-C-T, in their heart that makes them fools. How many times have we been foolish to disregard God? Because the fool did not come out and say boldly, God does not exist. No, we know what those people are called. Those are atheists. Sometimes the fool is somebody who momentarily forgets that God is good. Sometimes the fool is somebody who suddenly lost touch with the truth of God that is good. And so that is the definition of a fool. For you and I, we are not foolish because we have embraced the gospel of truth. And what is the gospel of truth? The gospel of truth is that Jesus, who is the express image of God, has appeared. And he has appeared on the sin on your behalf and on my behalf has appeared to demonstrate all of the goodness of God. The fact that you have embraced the gospel is a testimony to the goodness of God. The fact that you live in a life of the kingdom, the fact that you are in the kingdom of God, is a testimony to the goodness of God. And so if I were you, I would celebrate this truth. I would celebrate this reality at all times. If I were you, I will enjoy, I will intentionally bring myself under this consciousness that the goodness of God remains. It is my prayer tonight. As we continue in this study, more of his person, more of his essence will be opened up to us. And there are possibilities in this truth. And then we will be open to these possibilities. Our lives will continue, you know, to be an expression on daily basis of the goodness and the testimony of God. I trust that the Lord will bring us understanding. Lord will expand this word in our hearts. And this truth will yet set us free in this time and age. And we'll rise to our feet to bless God tonight. Take time to bless God in your heart. Take time to bless God in your understanding. Appreciate Him for His goodness. Appreciate Him for His goodness. Appreciate Him for His love. Appreciate Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Just take a moment and thank Him. We are done. We are not praying. It's not time for prayer. We've done all the prayers. But just thank Him. Just say, Lord, You've been so, so good to me. You've been so, so good to me. And I believe, I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident, I see this change, your faithfulness in me. Can we sing it one more time, please?
Of the Lord, I'm confident I see this change. Your faithfulness.
Can we share the grace together this evening? Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. See you in church on Sunday.